Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. BFFT. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
I have so much to talk about and only 1 hour to do it. It's going to move fast, and we're going to start with Angie Machado, owner and operator of BeaverBlitz.com. She covers the hell out of Oregon State when it comes to recruiting and football and basketball and all things orange and black, and she joins us now live via satellite. Where are you right now, Angie?
I am at home in Sherwood.
Live via satellite to Sherwood.
Yeah. I'm sure you have listeners, though, that are in Sherwood, so, you know, that's... It's always
good. We're huge in Sherwood. Huge.
The sports town.
Yeah. Sherwood's like a sleeping giant. Like that. How long have you lived there?
Since 2000.
Okay. So you've seen growth. Like, give us an idea of the growth you've seen in 20 years there.
Oh, crazy growth. I mean, yeah, just the schools are huge. I mean, they've already built like a new school, elementary, middle school, and then that's all changing because they're building a giant high school, biggest one in Oregon when it opens next year.
That community kind of went from, hey, it's kind of a new underdog community to now it's powerhouse.
Oh, in 2000, when we bought out here, I was kind of like, dude, Sherwood, that little town on the way to the beach, I don't want to live out there. And yeah, it's kind of exploded.
Give us an idea first from yesterday. We had on Scott Barnes, the Oregon State Athletic Director. I pressed him a little bit on the stadium. I'm excited if they really are going to do the West Side of Reser Stadium. He talked about right-sizing the stadium. Is that the right move? Do they need to downsize, make it smaller, more intimate? What's your thought on that?
Yeah, I mean, I have so many thoughts on the stadium. A, it needs to get done. We've talked about it way too long. I was part of the fundraising group that actually helped with the East Side expansion and that whole Raising Reser. That was part of my project when I worked at Oregon State. I actually think you do. I think you make it in that 40,000 to 45,000 range. You know, with Oregon having the size stadium they have, I mean, it's still Oregon. It's just not going to draw that many. And I would rather have a sold out, packed, a ticket that everybody wants than having empty seats. I just think it makes more sense to be a little more small, a little more intimate. And I hope they're going about this, you know, the right way.
Give us an idea, because when you guys originally raised funds for the east side of the stadium, you had 11,000 new seats to sell. And I know that part of it was... They required season ticket holders to put down a 3-year deposit. I'm going to commit to this. That helped pay off debt, and then you had new inventory to sell. The West Side, you really wouldn't have new inventory. That concerns me. How do you think they get that done?
See, that was just it. You know, the East Side, that was the whole section was a non-donor section. So you have all this inventory, and they're all donor seats. So you have, you know, the loge boxes that were premium. You had the suites. You had the club section. But then even all the sideline seats and the wing sections brought in a donation requirement that wasn't there. That's, like you said, it's not the case on the West Side. So if it's me, I get super creative, and I partner with the city. You know, make it a convention center, a Corvallis Convention Center, or classrooms with the university. Make it the, you know, media center. There's so many ways they could go about building onto the back, kind of where the parking is,
yes,
right behind the stadium, making it dorms. I mean, you could make that an athletic dormitory area as well. I mean, that you're partnering with the university or the city to make it something that's used year-round instead of just laying wasteful, and then make them pay for it. You know, make the city pay a chunk of it. Make the university pay a chunk of it. I think that's the way they have to do it, and maybe partner with restaurants. Or, I mean, one of the ideas on Beaver Blitz was partner with fermentation science. Bring fermentation science right there. And I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, they're making beer, wine, cheese, having it right there at the stadium.
I
there's so many things I could do that would pay off, you know, pay the debt service down on that, or eliminate debt service if those guys can foot the bill up front.
Also, Texas A&M put a hotel as part of their new stadium. Would a hotel work there, or what's the hotel scene around the stadium?
Yeah, I mean, there's the Hilton Garden Inn right across the street. There's a new Marriott down by the waterfront. I don't know if, you know, that would draw enough all the time. I mean, during game weekends, obviously, it's crazy. I mean, they require two-night minimums, and it's, you know, $500 a night. But, again, if they were to put, like, a convention center, retire the old LaSalle Stewart Center that's across the street, make it a, you know, some kind of a event space for meetings or what have you, maybe a hotel would work. But at the end of the day, there's just so many things they could do that would pay for it. And then make your stadium inside. I don't necessarily think they need a club section. Mm-hmm. I mean, they can't sell out the club they have unless they move the club over to that side and make the other side. I think one club is plenty, but there's obviously a waiting list for those loge seats. A press box. I mean, John, come on. We need a better press box.
You kidding me? Yeah, I'm afraid every time I go up there, I'm never going to get out.
Yeah, the elevator might. It used to be Washington. Washington's press box was the scary one with the overhang and the O. They fixed all that up now.
We're talking to Angie Machado, BeaverBlitz.com. Angie, in talking with people who helped on the west or the east side of the stadium, I heard a lot about public-private partnerships, and you're mentioning some of that right now. I thought Scott Barnes, when he came on, I don't think he expected me to raise that, but he definitely seemed like that was an option. Like somebody could potentially get a tax break in building a restaurant or something there. How would that be received by students? You're around the campus a lot more than I am. Will people see that as a sellout by the athletic department and the campus, or are we at the point where we kind of recognize those things have to happen in today's world?
I think it, you know, it'd be a positive. I think anytime you can bring in businesses, it adds to the whole, you know, the area. I mean, I look at the area right now, and they have the medical facility in the parking lot. They have, you know, the practice facility for basketball. Everything in Corvallis right there in the athletic department is so compact. And I think whether it's dining hall or whether it's a dorm, whether it's restaurant, it all just adds to that end of campus. I don't think it's a negative, and I think it's kind of become the norm. You know, the more options that are there, I think people embrace it, and it's not just a sellout. It's basically being smart, because you're not relying on something that's open, you know, six or seven Saturdays a year.
The donor, the lift that you had when you were helping with the east side, was it like pulling teeth, or were people excited to kind of be a part of something?
They were so excited. You know, it was a really fun time. I mean, that was started right after, you know, the 2000 Fiesta Bowl. They got the indoor facility built, and I came on right in 2000, right in the fall, right during football season is when I started. And the indoor practice facility was basically raised with 12 to 13 donors that stepped up and got that thing built. And I just remember going all over Portland and meeting with donors and boosters, explaining, you know, the seat license fee, talking about, you know, loges were the fun. It was the fun part, because nobody, now everyone has loge boxes, but at the time nobody really did. And I remember Bob DeCarolis was the AD at the time. He would come up, and him and I would tape off, you know, the 10x10 box with masking tape and bring some chairs in to try to explain it, what it was even going to be like. And when that finally opened up and the boosters saw what they were blown away.
Angie Machado, BeaverBlitz.com, is with us. We had signing day yesterday, and I know some of the luster's taken off because this is like not the traditional old February signing day. But Jonathan Smith has done very well in the transfer portal. How did he do overall with this recruiting class, in your opinion?
I think he addressed some needs. I love the junior college DBs they brought in. They needed length, and they got that. The transfer portal, like you mentioned, was huge. And I also like, you know, the athletes they got. I mean, nobody got poached. They got one guy, Jonathan Smith. I think it's interesting. In his three recruiting classes, he's had one guy poached, and that was Sam Peacock, offensive tackle this year, committed. He was from the state of Washington, and then Washington came in early fall, and he flipped to the Huskies. But Jonathan Smith and his staff have done such a good job of identifying who they want, getting those guys committed, and then holding on to them. So, you know, I look at the class. I think the star, if you were to have a star, is Isaiah Newell, the running back. I know I really pushed for him to be a four-star. I think he earned a four-star rating but a lot of the national guys thought he was more of a linebacker and projected more as a linebacker. But, you know, a 6'3", 220-pound running back, fast. He put up 300 yards a game in high school. So he's interesting. I think getting that junior college quarterback in Chance Nolan was huge, and they needed to do that. So that was a great pickup for them. And then when Isaiah Hodgins declared for the draft, they needed a bigger wide receiver. And so by going out in the portal, getting Treshawn Harrison, he's 6'3", 6'4", that gives them that extra, the big body to go along with the, you know, Trevon Bradfords and the smaller, quicker running backs they have.
Who's your starting quarterback next year at Oregon State?
I'm going with Jebbia right now. I like what we saw from him briefly in the Civil War game. And I just think the 2 years in the system is going to kind of put him over the top, but you can't count Chance Nolan out. I mean, both of those guys have a moxie to them. I don't know if you've been around them much, but the last quarterback I really remember having a moxie like that was Matt Moore. And you've been around Matt Moore. I mean,
yep.
You know, he just kind of has that it quality. And I don't know if I'm ready to put both Jebbia and Nolan in that same group, but they do have a little bit of that winner moxie.
You know what I liked about Matt Moore is I remember when they played UCLA in the pregame, he chucked a ball down into UCLA's warm-up, and I was like, who does that?
Oh, he's seriously covering this team. He's probably been one of my favorites that I've covered.
Angie Machado with us, beaverblitz.com. I had Barnes on, and maybe I'm not fair with him because I think he was a little irritated with me towards the end because I said, is this happening or not? And he says, John, I've said it twice. I'll say it again. But he's got a little bureaucrat in him. He likes to use catchphrases. It frustrates
me.
You know,
the press release came out as an if.
Yeah.
I mean, that was like red flags. But from what I've heard and, you know, the university is in a silent phase of a $1 billion capital campaign right now. And that stadium expansion is part of that. I have heard that there's $50 million already allocated, a gift that's been allocated to it. This is the closest I've seen it even being talked about. So I think Beaver fans should be excited because this is way further in the process than I've seen it in 20 years now.
What do they mean by silent phase? That's your world.
Silent phase is when, you know, you're going to have they don't actual fundraising campaign, a capital campaign, and, you know, roughly half already. So that's, they're out trying to raise a bunch of money. So then it looks, I mean, it's, you don't want to fail. So you got to set yourself up for success. So they're out there raising money right now. And I'm not sure when that, you know, that's out of my world now, but I do know the university is at the silent phase of a $1 billion campaign right now. So like I said, this is as far along as I've ever seen it. And it raised my hackles a little bit when I saw the if in the press release, but from everything I've heard from the people I've spoken with, I've spoken to some of the big boosters. They've been being talked to. You know, Coach Smith's been coming up. I think they've been doing some private dinners with Jonathan and his wife and Scott and his wife, and bringing Pat Casey in as well and his wife. So those are the kind of things I've been hearing that have kind of been happening in the back alleys of the booster world.
You showed up at the signing day or signing night dinner and announcement party. What was the scene there?
It was good. You know, that was a project that I started back in 2002. I worked for Greg Byrne. I was hired by Greg Byrne and Mitch Barnhart. And we finally had talked Greg into doing a Portland event. So that was my baby that we started in 2002. I would say, 400 to 500 people. And just like you said, it was a little anticlimactic now that signing day has kind of become December. But still a great chance just for the coaches and fans to kind of take a deep breath, celebrate the class and see, you know, most of these fans don't follow this like I do every single day of the year. But for them to kind of see, celebrate, there's lots of past, you know, former football players that were there. And like for me, that was the day, you take a deep breath. And today I actually went to the gym, had lunch with a girlfriend, and I'm on your show. And now it's flipping to 2021 and 2022. So
there you go.
That's kind of the world we live in.
For people who want to read you and subscribe, beaverblitz.com?
Beaverblitz.com. We're part of the 24/7 Sports Network, so you can join us and read all the other great content for all the other schools as well. I heard Promo talking about, you know, you guys aren't the voice of any, and that's great. We only talk Beavers, but we also a lot of other sister sites that can talk. You know, you can read USC, you can read Ducks. Everything is kind of in one network.
I like being, I'd get bored with it with 3 hours of just doing, like, I got to do one thing. So we talk, you know, Kirk Douglas and Blazers and, you know, the principal and Camus and, you know, whether or not it's poor form when a millennial ghosts us on social media. And, you know, it's just, we got to be all over the place. That's why I bring you on, because you're an expert. You know your stuff. And I said, who can we bring on who really talk Oregon State and knows finances and knows recruiting? There's one person. It's you.
Well, thank you. And like you said, I heard you talking about wanting to make your listeners smarter. And that's kind of what we want to do at Beaver Blitz. We want the fan base to be informed, whether it's offensive line play or recruiting or, you know, and the stadium expansion. They have to be informed. Need to know what's going on.
Angie Machado, I'll see you in the press box.
I'll see you later.
All right. There she is, BeaverBlitz.com. Coming up, the 2 at 2, and then we will go to Tyson Alger of The Athletic, who will be along to talk to us about the University of Oregon. Mario Cristobal not building a stadium. He's building a mountain-like offensive line. We'll talk about that later in the show. I know across the network during the commercial breaks, you'll often hear, sometimes you hear the same commercials, sometimes you hear different commercials. It's whether you're in Eugene or Klamath Falls. But I just heard one in the Portland metropolitan area during the commercial break for Bridgetown Window and Door. Raise your hand if you just caught that commercial during the break. Bridgetown Window and Door, and the reason why I'm going to bring them up is it really relates to what we were talking about earlier in the show. Is we were trying to send fathers and daughters to Blazer game. We ended up not picking one person, but picking three different girl dads who are going to the games. And by the way, two of the three girl dads are going to be sitting together. So there's four seats right in a row. So it'd be really cool to hear their experience at the game tonight. We're happy to do that on this show. But then I was sitting here in the break waiting to come back from the commercial break, and I heard the spot for Bridgetown Window and Door. They are window and door specialists. They've got like four decades of experience in the Portland metropolitan area. And how they ended up on air was during the Bald Faced Truth Foundation radiothon that you heard, I think it was in November, we auctioned off some airtime, an advertising package. And the owners of Bridgetown Window and Door said, you know what, we want to do something good and we want to help out, and we'll send a bunch of kids on field trips and musical instruments. And they bought the auction package. And so I smile when I hear their commercial that runs. So here's what I just want to say, because I got a lot of love for the companies out there that support kids and families in our community. And a lot of families, you know, with the rising cost of participation in sports and music and drama and gymnastics, and you want to go and be part of a art class, and you have an after school program and a summer camp. I know what that stuff costs. I got three daughters, and I look around and I'm like, man, you got to make decisions as families now that you didn't have to make back in the day. And I know it's hard when you've got even one kid who is active and busy and wants to do this and that. We used to be able to do everything. My parents, I got to play soccer and baseball, and I got to play flag football, and I got to take piano lessons, and I got to, you know, do every activity I ever dreamed or imagined that I wanted to be part of. But that was when it almost never cost anything that was prohibitive. Now you have fees that are $100 to play this, $200 to play that. You got to buy the shoes. That's another $120 for that. And then you have an art class. There's a fee for that. And pretty soon, I think parents are looking up and going, okay, we got to make some decisions here. Do you want to play an instrument or do you want to play soccer? Bridgetown Window and Door, with their donation in November, not only bought airtime, but they made that stuff happen for kids in this community. So here's my pitch to you as a listener of the show. Here's how you get involved. If you're going to replace your windows or your doors, go with a company that has 40 years of experience in window and door replacement. Go with a company that can do, work on historical homes and businesses, and they can do it all. Go to their website, bridgetownwindow.com. Just blow it up. So they go, wow, a bunch of people went to our website at like 2:30 on a Thursday. Why? You know why? Because they did something good for kids in our community. Just go check out what they do. And if you're going to put in windows or doors in a home, I know I have my sister has a home that is a little bit older, and I've said to her, you need new windows. You should get new windows. I'm going to tell her Bridgetown Window and Door is your go-to. Their website is bridgetownwindow.com. That's really easy. So just go there, blow up their website, check it out, look at their gallery. And if you are somebody that you know is going to do windows or doors, use Bridgetown Window or Door. That's how you help kids in our community. You support those who support. Because they're going to continue to do what they've done for years and years and years, which is 40 years worth of doing windows and doors. And they're going to continue to support kids in the BFT Foundation and the community. And I hope you make this worthwhile for them so that they can continue to do good things, too, in our community. All right? That's my pitch. Bridgetown Window and Door. And look, it's unsolicited. It's not on the show sheet. Peter, back me up. It's not on a log somewhere. I'm supposed to talk about this. I just heard it, and I went, support them. You back me up on that?
Yeah, 100%. Not on the log. You just went. It was from the heart.
And people get mad at me. They're like, whoa, that's not on the log. I said, no, I don't care if it's on the log or not. This is the show we're doing. Bridgetown Window and Door, bridgetownwindow.com.
The 2 at 2.
Andre Iguodala traded, causing a little bit of a storm. He held out for a half a season in Memphis, collected his paychecks, refused to report to his team, and now has been rewarded by being traded to the Miami Heat. He gets to go from Memphis to Miami. Miami's better, presumably, on paper, and LeBron James was asked about his reaction to Andre Iguodala.
I don't know. I mean, I saw it and was like, okay. I think it makes him a better team because of his championship DNA. You add that to that championship culture down there. So it helps him, right away.
I saw that he got some support from a lot of NBA players, including CJ McCollum, who tweeted out, hey, you got paid and you got to go Miami. I'm not in that camp. I think if you sign a contract, you show up to work. And I didn't like that Andre Iguodala went out, wrote his book, promoted his book, lined up his future employment, sat out a year, disrespected Memphis Grizzlies and that organization and team that had traded for him, and ultimately never reported. I think that's poor form by Iguodala, but he got paid anyway. Dylan Brooks was asked about whether or not he was happy that the problem got solved. He's in Memphis.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.